The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
And this is the Magic Mike Show, episode 546. Mr. Samich.
Smoking J1 today. Huzzah!
Yes, that's what we're here to talk
about. That's what we're here to talk about. Let's talk about Smoking J winning at even money.
Where was he running at? Colonia?
No, Horseshoe. Horseshoe. Five furlong allowance on the turf just dominated him.
I'm glad to see he could win again. Last couple of races for him haven't been very good at all. So good to see your old friend Smoking J in there. Good to see all of you joining us to talk about Kentucky Derby 150. We didn't have Bob Baffert there, but there still somehow is controversy about the finish, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, we'll obviously talk about the finish. I think it's but the order probably shouldn't have been that order. We'll put it that way. I would say Sierra Leone probably cost Forever Young the race, specifically with the first bump at the top of the stretch, which clearly messed with Forever Young, but then the multiple bumps after that. But let's dive into it, because I don't want to start giving away the highlights here before we actually dive into it.
That's fine. Yeah, pretty much that's what today's show is going to be. Kentucky yep. Derby recap. We'll go over everything that happens. Nothing too fancy about it. Bugler Steve, rise up. Before we get into it, I do want to mention that the biggest positivity I see out of it, because it's definitely not my betting account after this weekend, the numbers. This was a record-breaking number for bet on the Derby itself, bet on Derby Day, bet on Derby Week. I can tell you that FanDuel saw record increases all across for the betting and the account usage as well. So, and also the most watched Kentucky Derby race since 1989. That's all pretty damn awesome, Mike, for Kentucky Derby 150 to get that much attention, and for everything from a horse health perspective go flawlessly.
Yeah, everything from a horse health perspective goes great. Everyone who went out came back. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's happy. That's all good news. We didn't have a ADW have a major outage for the first time in 4 years on the Kentucky Derby Day, which helps those betting numbers as well. I know that's been a problem in the last couple years as well, as the ADWs have all gone down. So that's a good sign. The race itself, yeah, it was a rough weekend from a betting perspective. Like the specifically Saturday's card was really frustrating to me, because I had 10 of the 14 winners, but every time I got a little momentum, it just kind of came off the rails for me. I never want to talk about the Pat Day Mile again. Can we just please shoot that race to the moon? Because I cannot stand that freaking race. And yeah, like the Derby, it's funny, because like we talk about this race for weeks leading up to it, and I picked Fierceness, got exactly the trip I wanted, and he sucked, and that was that. So like nothing you can do there. But Mystic Dan won. You know what? Probably would have been 12th or 13th on the list if I was going to pick like horses in order. So I don't really mind like not having the winner, because I never am getting to Mystic Dan in this spot. If Forever Young had won, I would have been pissed, because my take 6 weeks ago that this is not a very good crop had a future. Like, it's funny, I would have won money with Forever Young because I had a future bet on him. But like at the same time, I would have been pissed I didn't just stick to my guns that this was not a very good crop.
Yeah, I think that was pretty I won't say it's not a very good crop. I'll say it's a very even crop. And if you want to determine that makes it not good, that's fine. It's a very even crop. So in terms of betting, we're going to keep getting good opportunities, hopefully for the rest of the year, or at least through the summer at Saratoga and at Del Mar. Brian Hernandez Jr. deserves all the praise in the world. Like, this is a horse that has a miler breeding. And when we saw him in the Arkansas Derby, it was a troubled third, but he was never ever going to win that race against Muth. And maybe that, when we get close to the Preakness, that'll be something that comes up. But he's one of those things where he's a good horse, but he had the perfect ride from the jockey, Brian Hernandez Jr.
Yeah, I mean, like Brian Hernandez Jr. and what he did in this race. And it's not just like everyone talks about fitting that horse through a keyhole on the rail. That was phenomenal and took a ton of guts to say, hey, I know I know that Track Phantom's backing up into me. I'm still going to go through this hole in the rail. He talked about it after he had to get new boots after that race because they got damaged by the rail because he actually hit the rail with his boot as he was going through that hole.
Oh, wow.
But the two things that he did that I think are wildly underrated here, the first one, the break, he beat Dornoch out of the gate and could have taken the lead, but then sat on the rail and let those other horses kind of come over in front of him. So he was able to get that ground saving trip on both turns, and beating Dornoch really ended Dornoch's day one. And two, allowed him to be able to get the trip he wanted. Had he been beaten to the first turn by Dornoch, all of a sudden he gets the Dornoch trip, right? He's in 13th on the first turn, not eighth. And that difference really made a ton that decision made a ton of difference for him in the long run. The second one, and you see this too often with jockeys, he fits the horse through that hole, and he sends. He sends him early. He sends him hard and just says, now I hope you got enough left because we are just going. I'm getting the jump on everyone else who is wide. I'm not going to get cute. I'm not going to hand ride until someone comes up to me. I'm just going to go and put as much distance around in front of these other horses as I can. And if someone catches me, someone catches me. But I am going to ask everything as soon as we got through that hole. And that's what he did. And he opened up 4 or 5 lengths in the stretch, and he needed every bit of it. Every bit of it to be able to hold on. And if he had waited even, let's say, a 16th of a mile and just kind of said, okay, just pumped him a little bit, I don't think Mystic Dan gets there. I think someone catches him. The fact that he aggressively rode him as soon as he got through that hole was a huge part of the reason why Mystic Dan won. So you got to give him so much credit for this, because it's not only the break, it's not only finding the hole, it's sending the horse at the right time that all added up to him winning by a very, very short nose in the end.
Yeah, Chris Mile is agreeing with you, and I agree as well. The horse needed the wire for a 16th of a mile. He was begging Forever Young and Sierra Leone to come beat him, and it just didn't happen. They were, maybe if those horses had run a straight line instead of playing bumper cars, maybe one of them would have caught him. We'll talk about them in a second. But that was such a brilliant ride. I'm watching back the replay now a couple of times. I had missed that Brian Hernandez actually bounced into the rail, but you're right. Yep. Just as they were coming off the turn, you see from the NBC footage that Track Phantom kind of drifted in a little bit. And yeah, things got a little squirrely there for a second. So again, like you said, he slammed on the gas at the top of this stretch. I think that's a veteran rider who's been at Churchill Downs for decades. And he also said that coming into the race, he had watched clips of Calvin Burrell with Mind That Bird and with Super Saver to see how did he work the rail. Brian knew what his trip was going to be for the horse days before he put it into action. And so it was really cool to see him be able to execute it when it was necessary.
Yeah, it was just a phenomenal ride, a really heady ride from a veteran jockey. We've seen him do well at Churchill. We've seen him do well at Keeneland. We've seen him do well all over the place. And it was nice to see him get two major wins this weekend. And this one was just, look, jockeys matter in this race, probably more than almost any other race that we've got, because there are 20 horses, and his ride was just exemplary. I mean, he did everything right, pushed all the right buttons, and that's why Mystic Dan won this race. Is that you had, you know, I don't think you had a ton of questionable rides in this spot, but you had two in my mind that were phenomenal. The Mystic Dan ride with Brian Hernandez Jr. was phenomenal. Flavian Pratt's ride on Catching Freedom, if you go back and you watch the replay, what he was able to do on that horse from, I think it was what, second to last, third to last, and then he splits. He decides to ride the rail, moves the horse all the way up. I thought he did a phenomenal job to even go up and get fourth with Catching Freedom in that spot as well. Now I think he's now finished in the top four, 6 of the 7 times he's ridden in the Kentucky Derby, which is pretty impressive for a 20 horse field. But his ride was great. Hernandez Jr. ride was great. I hear a lot of people knocking Gaffleone for what happened in the stretch. I'm not sure Gaffleone had any control over where Sierra Leone was going in that stretch. I mean, we saw him veer in very badly in the bluegrass as well. And when you watch the head-on, his inside foot just paddles like a mother as soon as he switches over leads. And that's what we see when he straightens out to switch leads. All of a sudden, he ducks in, and he ducks in, and he ducks in. And I think Catching Freedom wins the race if Sierra Leone doesn't hit him 3 times coming down the stretch.
The people are asking, bringing about Just a Touch, what happened with him? He finished what? That horse from the start was no having a rough time.
Yeah,
it was not a, he was, if you, the definition of an unhappy horse is Just a Touch the first 10 seconds in the race. He is throwing his head all over the place. He's not running straight because he's like, what the bleep is happening to me right now?
Yeah.
And then Florent Giroux, when he realized that the horse didn't have anything after asking him in the turn, just said, all right, wrapped him up. And that was something when we talked about props on this show before, Mike, that people were talking about, who would you bet to finish last? You said that there's probably going to be a quirky thing where one of these horses just gets wrapped up early that the jockey knows he doesn't have it and is going to protect him. And hats off to Giroux for not pushing him and trying to get the, you know, get 18th or 19th instead of 20th. Remember, if you're watching the screen here, you can see it. Only the top five position in the Kentucky Derby get paid. You finished sixth. Resilience, great job. Great ride from Junior Alvarado. I thought to put the horse there when he's had distance questions. You didn't get paid jack for it. You rode sixth. You didn't get a cent, at least as far as purse money goes.
Yeah, you don't get anything. And that's kind of the weird part about this, because, I mean, it felt like Catalytic got wrapped up too around the far turn. It was just like, nope, we're not doing anything today. Not even going to try from Jose Ortiz. And like, I don't blame the jockeys for not trying. Like you said, the money doesn't make any difference. The betting markets, there are markets open, but not the general betting ones that you're seeing at the racetrack. Exacta, Trifecta, Superfecta, Super High Five. Obviously, some people like myself played some head-to-heads in this race, and it mattered a little bit in certain cases. But for the most part, it's not something you're worried about the health and safetyness of the horse. You're not worried about finishing 16th instead of 18th, right? And so you're going to see some interesting rides like that. And you know, one of the things with picking a horse like Just the Touch, and Tim brings it up, you know, it's too young, not enough races, and that's, you're going to see high variance in some of these younger horses. With Taba 3 years ago, he got in a mess of trouble. With Mage last year, who, by the way, had run just as many times as Just a Touch, he won the race. And with Just a Touch this year, he had no interest in running in it after that first, I don't know, 40 steps, 50 steps. He's like, nope, I'm good. So you do have less seasoned horses who are going to face a little more of adversity. But I mean, on the other side of that, Just Steel, your most seasoned horse in the race, ran 17th, so there's gives and takes from that as well.
Well, Just Steele's the most experienced, but maybe not so much as jockey. And I'm not going to say Keith Asmussen is the reason the horse lost, but that felt like a ride that maybe Keith would want to have back. He let the horse go up there and be on the front end, which we didn't expect, just like we didn't expect Dornock to be, you know, towards the back of the pack, or for Just a Touch to be towards the back of the pack. You got to play the break and let things happen as they are. Forever Young, was he the best horse in this race?
I think so. He didn't break well. He
got, that's the understatement of the day.
He got squeezed. Everything went wrong that could go wrong. He got destroyed at the top of the stretch by Sierra Leone, who then just wanted to give him a hug down the whole lane, just couldn't lay off him. I have seen drunk guys do less to girls dancing at bars before than what Forever Young did, or Sierra Leone did it Forever Young. Like, it was just absolutely brutal. He just couldn't leave him alone. And Sierra Leone, or Forever Young, just never was able to really hit full stride and be able to really go after Mystic Dan, because he had to deal with this horse on his outside. Just kept banging into him, going shoulder to shoulder. I'm surprised the stewards didn't look at this. I kind of get they didn't look at it because it's a Kentucky Derby and blah, 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 blah. Sierra Leone should have come down, period. Like, the Forever Young should have been put up into second, especially with how close it was. And I think Forever Young wins the race if Sierra Leone is not consistently banging into him down the stretch.
Chris Mello brings up a good point. That given where the pace finished, the other pace horses, Mystic Dan was best. I mean, yes, he had the ground-saving trip, but I'm not going to disagree with you on that one. The other horse that was anywhere close to him early, that was the best finisher, was Stronghold, who ends up finishing seventh. I didn't even realize Stronghold was seventh. That's actually a sneaky good effort from him. We had questions about his distance ability being out of a dam by Jimmy Creed, and so we thought, well, he's got Ghost Zapper on top, but that mile and a quarter might be too much for him, so that was good. But yeah, you see Just Steel faded way off, Epic Ride faded way off, Fierceness folded like a cheap lawn chair, Track Phantom 11th actually is probably better than I think a lot of us thought Track Phantom was going to be in that race. So that's a good point, Chris.
I think Mystic Dan ran really well. I think you also have to remember Mystic Dan lost zero lengths of ground in this race too, though. And when you compare that to what Forever Young and Sierra Leone gave up when being wide, and now part of it is, hey, that's where they come from. Like, Sierra Leone and Mystic Dan, and Forever Young, you knew Sierra Leone was going to be way in the back. I didn't think Forever Long would be that far back, but you knew he was going to give up some ground on both the turns. And the fact that Mystic Dan gave up zero ground, I thought was pretty impressive and a big part of why he was able to run or win. I also heard from multiple people, Sierra Long got a bad trip. Like, he got stopped a little bit around the far turn. And yes, he was behind a little bit of wall, but if you told me that this was Sierra Leone's trip, I would say this was the best trip he gets in If you run it 50 more times, this is the best trip of all the next 50 races that he gets in this race.
I mean, it was... What else would you have expected from Sierra Leone? Like,
he never got
the rail isn't going to magically open for him like that.
Yep. He never got stopped. He never, I mean, maybe he lost a length because he had to wait forever for Forever Young to go by. But he, like, I never thought that he had any issue with losing his momentum, with anything like that. And you knew he was going to come from the back. I thought he was going to be in 20th, not 18th. So I thought he actually won the break in a way, right? Where he's actually closer than I expected. I think that this was one of those races. And when you look at the time too, like this was a slow pace, which is kind of crazy to think about. Like if you go back to, the last time they went 46.63, you have Medina Spirit do it in 21. We haven't had it that slow of a pace since 2015 before. And Medina Spirit went gate to wire that year. So for the three horses to back off as aggressive as they did, I thought wasn't great. The final time, 203.34. That is about a second, 1.6 seconds slower than last year's winner, Mage. So Mage would have beaten this field by 8 lengths based on the 1 length per 0.2 seconds. So it's just like you think about that, it's like, well, maybe this race just wasn't that great.
Yeah, it's... The time when I saw the final time, 203.64, like you said, I was like, 3.4. That's not good. That's faster than I can run a mile and a quarter. I know that much, but that's, as far as the Kentucky Derby goes, it wasn't really that fast. And it's so kind of like the Sierra Leone and Forever Young, they closed well, but they were kind of belatedly getting there. It's not something where you're going to see surged late kind of thing. So, Catching Freedom got fourth. We talked about him. T.O. Pass, we're getting fifth. Was a big surprise, especially considering that, well, I'll consider all things. He's only had 2 career starts. He's only ever raced in Japan. He was a front runner. And then he comes here and he gets knocked around and beat up just about as badly as Forever Young did. And he had to come from 18th. And that horse finished fifth. I mean, not a wow performance, but definitely, I think, a lot better than a lot of us thought from the other Japanese horse, quote unquote.
I thought it was I know a lot of people that thought T.O. Pass was finishing last in this race. And the fact that he was 17th early, 18th at the half mile point, it really got absolutely no chance to run the race that I think any of us expected. He'd gone gate to wire in both races in Japan. By the way, he was the one who lost the crop. You can see it in the comments over there. Off slow, checked, lost crop. So he was the one who dropped the whip down the stretch. I know multiple people are asking about that. Like to do something new with 20 horses when you're only running Japan and to do it this well, I thought was really impressive. It's funny because two of the narratives coming into this and like the inside posts suck, 3, 2, and 4 all run in the top 4. And don't bet the Japanese horses. They round out your super 5-5 with finishing 3rd and 5th. So the inside posts and the Japanese horses end up making your super 5-5, which are two of the things that heading into this were things do not bet or things you should not bet, which is just wild to me.
I just saw in the replay, I watched it back, that Kazushi Kimura, when the rider of T.O. Pass, it's very clear when he loses the crop because he's got the yellow cap on and you see him duck down and look back like he goes, oh shit. It's kind of like the Simpsons meme where it's like, if you slow down, you can see the exact moment you broke Ralph Wiggum's heart. If you slow it down, you see the exact moment Kimura went, oh shit, that's not going to be good for it. I would say maybe not this summer because both the Japanese horses went back, but watch out for both these horses, especially Forever Young at the Breeders' Cup. Depending on what happens with the older male division, which still seems very up in the air, at least until Arabian Night comes back. Watch out. The Forever Young, Breeders' Cup, Del Mar. It's gonna be fun.
Yep, it could be fun. And I think we have to talk about Resilience and Stronghold too. I thought they both ran very well, end up in 6th and 7th in this spot. Breaking from the 17 and 18 post, both of them more forwardly placed on the outside. I thought they were both very good in this spot too. I'm interested to see where they come back. I was completely against Stronghold. I think he ran a lot better than I expected. Resilience, I'm going to stick to this. If Resilience had drawn a better post, I would have used him in the supers, and I think he would have ended up running better than he did. I think the post really hindered both of those horses, so they're ones you got to keep an eye on moving forward as well.
Mark brings up a good point here. Each year, more of the curses and negative post theories get demolished. It's all about the horse and the trip. To me, last year was when I stopped believing in any of that. When Mage became the next horse to break the curse of Apollo. And no offense to Mage, nothing like Justify. When Justify is like, damn, a Triple Crown winner, a super horse, just like that's what it took to break it. And then Mage just comes along and goes, it's actually not that hard anymore, guys. Like, watch me do it. So, yeah. And any theories like that, the post stuff, it's all about the horse. It's about the trip.
It's especially about the trip because, like, the Mystic Dan got is a one in a million trip from the three posts. Like, if you had told me he outbreaks Door Knock, takes the rail, squeezes through the rail on the turn home, and then gets up like that, I'm just like, no, that doesn't happen. Like, if they run this race 50 more times, Mystic Dan never gets that trip again. And that's the thing. That's what makes it so hard to be effective from those inside posts is that you do need that perfect trip. It's not saying it's not possible, but it is definitely something you have to at least factor in. I mean, I know next year when this race happens again, will it be 20 horses? I'll be leaning against the inside horses again because it is so hard to get the trips that, like, Sierra Leone, perfect trip. Mystic Dan, perfect trip. The odds of that happening from the two and three posts in the same year is like one in a million. It's crazy to think about that both of those could get that trip without it.
Looking back through the rest of the field just to see if there's anybody we're talking about. Endlessly, we'll get to Endlessly in a second. Anna Marie, poor Ben Curtis, he got maybe the worst out of everyone, including Forever Young, so badly that he fell out of the irons and he had to like stop the horse for a second just to get his feet into the irons. And so he was last. He rallied. He just, you know, not fast enough to get up there, I think, from 20th and circle the field. And 8th, I thought, was respectable considering what had happened to him.
Yeah, he had a brutal trip and ran well. Like if he gets a little bit better of a break, if he is in 15th instead of 20th, if he's able to never lose his momentum like he had, I think you end up with a better performance here. But this is part of the Derbies. Like, there are going to be horses with terrible trips. So this is one of those where I think Anna Marie is a horse that you don't hold this one against him. If anything, you just say he ran really well. He clearly wanted to run, which was a problem two races ago in the Risen Star. We were disinterested in running. He was clearly very interested in running. So I felt like that was a good progression from a head perspective. The rest of the trip was just awful.
And then Endlessly, this was his first time taking to dirt. He's had two starts this year, earlier this year, both synthetic stakes wins. Before that was exclusively a turf horse. I was completely against him here because his trainer, Mike McCarthy, never seemed very excited about putting this horse on dirt when he thought this horse was better on a different surface. And I think still the horse is better on a different surface, but he took a lot of kickback. He was at the rear with Anna Marie, and both of those horses they came on late, which means the kickback didn't make them get all pissy like it did Just a Touch.
Yeah, I mean, look, Endlessly, I think, ran about... this was the top tier for him, right? If he finished in the top five, I would have been surprised. Finishing ninth, good job. Like, right? You passed some of the tiring horses. We knew you were going to have some type of kick moving forward. He'd been working out pretty well on dirt, but he's a turf horse. He's going to go back to turf after this, and I don't think this is a race that we really have to worry about Endlessly from.
A great question here from Tom O'Connor. You're asking the perfect man, and I'm going to read it out so that perfect man can hear it as well. Any stable ups from here, or are they all going to be over bet? There's always some stable ups to come out of the Derby, Mike. Who we got?
Yeah, I mean, I think Anna Marie is one of them. You got to keep an eye on. The problem is, like, to me, Resilience is the stable up here, and I'm not sure we get a price back on Resilience next time out. He ran for the trip that he got. I thought he ran phenomenal in this spot, and it tailors to what he did last time in the prep as well, where he was poorly placed toward a hot pace. He got a great trip that day, was able to save ground, go outside of the two horses that were quitting behind him and win easily, do it completely under wraps. He looked like he had a shot at winning this race turning for home, and he just got a little bit tired because of the trip and the situation and the setup. So I think Resilience is one that you've got to take a look at moving forward. Obviously price dependent, right? Because the problem is you do get Derby horses that get overbet. But I thought his sixth place finish was phenomenal. I think Anna Marie is one where maybe you get the same price back because he ends up finishing where he finished here. So I'm a little interested there. Outside of that, like, honestly,
what about Track Phantom? Tris Smith brought up Track Phantom. He cuts back to a mile or seven furlongs. Is he playable? Well,
that's a different question to me. The what horses shouldn't be going two turns question is another one, right? Where, like, yeah, hey, who do I want to take out of the Derby when they cut back to one turn? Door Knock, Track Phantom, both of those I think are interesting here. Cutting back to one turn, I think that's what probably they're best at long term in their career. What happens with Fierceness? I mean, we'll talk about that obviously in a second. We'll see what he does. Catalytic, I think, should probably be a one turn horse, or maybe wants to be two turns but needs a little time off. I think he's interesting moving forward after, because like, you have to remember, this is Catalytic's fourth race too, right? And he got rushed right into this thing. Mm-hmm. I would be interested in Catalytic, interested in Just a Touch after some time off when they come back, because people look at this and finish 19th and 20th and it's like, yeah, they did. But I mean, there's reasons they finished 19th to 20th. It's not their talent. It's because of the race and how fast they were here and the trips they got once they got here. So to me, both of those are ones I'll be interested back, depending on when they come back and what the price is going to be and what level they come back in. But I wouldn't just throw them out next time because they finished in 19th to 20th.
Well, we do know a few of these horses are going to be pointing to the Preakness Stakes. Trainer D. Wayne Lucas has already said Just Steal is going to go to the Preakness, along with Seize the Gray, who won the Pat Day Mile in an upset, which I thought was a fantastic way to kick off my pick five ticket. And then Appleby just, yeah, those are some crab Applebys. Yeah. Not only here, he had, what's the horse's name? Raced up at Belmont at the Big A on the same day, Saturday, in a grade two race. And that horse lost by a close one. It's like, some days Appleby's horses just, they run well and they just get beaten. That's what happened there. But so we know the two Lucas horses will go. Mystic Dan, possible. McPeak is not rushing right in saying, yes, we're going to do it. He's being sensible and saying, we're going to let the horse tell us. But we hope, because I can tell you from a business standpoint, when the Derby winner skips the Preakness, nobody gives a shit about the Preakness. Like, very few people like the Preakness. Nobody cares about it once the race, the Derby winner's not there. So those horses are going. Sierra Leone is going to train up for the Belmont. It sounds like the Japanese horses went home. I'm trying to think if anybody else out of this race is going to go to the Preakness.
I would be surprised. Right? I mean, you got Muth waiting for you. I don't think a ton of people want to take on Muth. Mystic Dan, I bet, ends up running. But outside of that, I mean, are you really rushing back Catching Freedom? Are you rushing back Resilience? Are you rushing back Stronghold, Anna Marie? If I could make a case for, like, who would I run? Like, Dornock might be a horse I would run. But obviously there's the hoof issues. So if he's not healthy, there's the hoof issues there. Like, this Doc's, right? I would be interested if Wine Stewart runs the Preakness. That would be an interesting one to see if he goes there. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have a banger of a Belmont. I don't think we're going to have a phenomenal Preakness.
Anna Marie, I think, is going Belmont. Yeah. But at least I hope he does. That'd be really good. Assume he came out of all. Somebody brought up Frankie Dettori riding on, somebody said Society Man ran well because he passed four horses, which kind of made me laugh. But it reminded me of the Derby quotes afterwards. They ask every trainer and every jockey that will answer them for some brief comment on it. And Frankie Dettori says, "It was a great atmosphere. I enjoyed myself, absorbed all the atmosphere, really enjoyed it. My horse tried, but he's not at this level." Dettori was beautiful, brutally honest. He's like, "I finally got to ride in another Derby, and it was on a horse that nobody thought had a chance, and he didn't have a chance."
And they were correct. It was interesting. It was interesting being in the Circus sports book, because we talked about the effect of Rich Strike winning and having that big of a payout. And we didn't see a 50-1 shot in the Derby this year again. Everybody under 50-1. The biggest cheers in the sports book were for all the 40+-1 shots. That every single time a 40+-1 shot came on, there was a large cheer for it in the sports book. So you still have that Rich Strike effect too. And I'm saying this because Society Man 47-1 was one of those horses that got a ton of cheers in the Circus sports book when he came across.
Betters are weird.
It's a lot of people. It's $5 in every long shot. That is clearly a thing right now in our sport. Uh-huh. So we'll see what's going to happen.
Let's see. Curtis Manlow saying Wine Stewart is being pointed towards the Peter Pan. That's a more sensible move, I think. Just the Preakness is, well, I don't know. If you think you're not going to beat Muth, then yeah, you go to Peter Pan and then try to go to the Belmont from there. Peter Pan, by the way, is this weekend, which means that Mike and I, not ending the show right now, but I'll just let everybody know, we're going to cover Backwaduct this weekend for the Magic Mike show. Yeah, because I looked at the slate, and trust me, you don't want to go anywhere else. It's not pretty. We got three graded stakes there
yet.
No, Bellatoga is, well, we're a month away from Bellatoga, aren't we?
Yep. It's gonna be fun. Anything on Encino? Encino is taking 30 days off for the farm. I would be surprised if we see him in a Triple Crown race.
He's hurt. Yeah. He's hurt. So Encino is out. By the way, two straight years, Mike and I have the Lexington Stakes winner on our fantasy team. Looks great. Let's go to the Preakness. Oh, you're hurt. Okay. Well, this year it was, hey, let's go to the Derby. Oh, you're hurt. So, we don't have a good track record with that. A good horse. I think when I heard that he was hurt, my immediate response was, okay, see you in the Clark. That's what they did with First Mission. See you.
You think Encino runs top four here?
Ooh, no.
I do.
I think he's top, I think you could make a strong case for top six. Around there, but.
Yeah. It would have Muth won the Derby? I would lean toward yes.
Yeah. He would have had a really good chance.
They would have been right there. It's very interesting because some of the horses that you're missing obviously are interesting. Nysos is hurt. We're not going to see Nysos for this segment either, or these two Triple Crown races. That's kind of one of the bummers. Mind Frame, I would be surprised if we won't see him in the Preakness. Maybe the Belmont, maybe one of the undercard stakes on the Belmont Day. What do you think?
I would go, he's probably, depends on how aggressive they want to be. I always forget that Peter Pan is the week after Derby, because when he won, I went, oh shit, you could go Peter Pan Belmont. That would be ridiculously stupid. He's not trained by Dean Wayne Lucas, so we shouldn't assume that'll happen. But if it comes out okay, Belmont, I could also see them wanting to say, let's go Jim Dandy Travers. Like, let's play it a little slow. We'll see what happens. But a mile and a half is so hard on so many horses to try and get there. So if you're thinking, if you would rather win the Travers over the Belmont, if you don't have a Triple Crown winner, I think you probably do want the Travers over the Belmont.
It's going to be interesting this year with Saratoga, though, because it's a mile and a quarter instead of the mile and a half.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that they're putting it back. Yep.
You're right. That's why I think you're going to see so many Derby horses in it, too, because you have that distance and you have the uniqueness of Saratoga. So going a mile and a quarter, I wouldn't be surprised if you see more people take shots.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm leaning Saratoga for Mind Frame, but he was holy. Like, I got a weird look. I was out walking the dogs that morning when the race was going on, and I was watching it. And all of a sudden, when he made his big move and just got rid of all the horses, I just yelled, holy shit. I forgot that people were right by me. They were like, what the hell are you yelling
about? What do you think about this? So Scott saying Muth is going to win the next two Triple Crown races. Do you think he's at Saratoga if he wins the Preakness?
For the Belmont, no.
No, you don't think so? I'm not sure what... I was thinking about it. Do you run him back? If Muth wins the Preakness, do you run him back in the Belmont? I'm not sure if Baffert will. We'll see what happens.
Baffert, based off of history, would rather go win the Haskell and the Travers. There's more money and more prestige doing that than going to win the Belmont.
Yeah. What do you think about this? If Detoria Ortiz is on Forever Young, does he win the Derby?
If Irad's on Forever Young, I don't think he wins the Derby, but I think Tyler Gaffalione's got a black eye after the race.
I don't think the jockey did anything wrong. If you go back, you watch Forever Young's trip, I don't think there was one bad decision.
No.
I think the problem was Sierra Leone was just trying to box him down the lane. And again, I don't blame Gaffalione for this. Sierra Leone had this problem in the Bluegrass when there was no one next to him either. He's to plug in. But man, the first bump between Forever Young and Sierra Leone, that was the one. Because the hindquarters of Sierra Leone literally kick out. And that was the one bump that I thought took the most momentum away from him. If that doesn't happen, I think Forever Young wins the race.
I didn't see this. Not saying you're wrong, but I hadn't heard this. Domestic Product lost to Shoot the Star. That horse was all kinds of... He got pinched at the start, and then he flew up, and Irad had both feet and the brakes being slow down. You're a closer. Stop trying to go to the front here. But maybe he lost the shoe. He was ow, 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 and he's trying to get done with the race as fast as he could.
So I don't blame TGF for grabbing Forever Young. I don't ever see him grab him. Every time you see him, he's holding the reins and he pushes the reins out like this to try and get the horse to straighten out. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to straighten the horse out. And that's why it looks like he's punching the other horse next to him, punching the jockey. I never saw him actually physically grab the other horse or anything like that. Now, the still frame pictures look a little weird because of how he is trying to straighten the horse out with the reins. That's what he's doing, is trying to pull that head straight. And it never did. So, he's trying to there he's holding the rein. He's not holding the horse, and that's what you have to look at there.
The right hand's holding the rein. The left hand's over here.
Oh, that's not the rein right there?
No, the orange is the rein. Oh, this see, is I forever thought, young.
I thought he had the rein in both hands there.
Uh-uh. No.
No? Yeah. I mean, it's a little odd. I don't think, again, I'm like, the idea that you think Gaffleone actually is grabbing him, though, to try and slow him down is a little bit crazy to me. It's like, maybe I'll watch it again, but like, everything that I saw was Gaffleone trying to straighten out the horse and do everything he could to keep on the horse while trying to straighten him out because the horse was lugging in so bad.
Yeah, this, I mean, what this part, ignore his left arm, what this picture is saying is he is trying hard to get Sierra Leone off. He's trying to pull him off the horse. That's why the rein is pulled all the way to the right like that, and the horse wasn't really responding. He was trying to get space to use because he had the crop in his left hand. He couldn't do that. Lou says Tyler reached because he almost fell. There was contact, enough contact there. I could understand it. Like in the brief moment, you're like losing your balance that you might do that. So,
yeah. I mean, look, I understand why the stewards didn't change it. If this was a race on a Wednesday, they should have changed it. I personally think they should have changed it. Like, there's no way you shouldn't have looked at this and taken Sierra Leone down. Like, Forever Young was clearly interfered with in the stretch, and clearly Sierra Leone should have come down. But yeah, because it's the Kentucky Derby, they didn't want to do it.
Curtis Manlow, I'll have no opinion on the Forever Young incident until I hear John White speak on the matter for 2 hours. We got to pick on John. Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, this is a good point, Donald. You can tell who was running where in the race. Look how clean Mystic Dan's face is. And then the other three also wearing blinkers, just covered in dirt.
Yep.
Any final thoughts on the Kentucky Derby or the Kentucky Derby weekend before we wrap things up, Mike?
The weekend overall of racing was phenomenal. We got to see a lot of very good horses run. It would have been nice if we could have connected with a couple more. I'm surprised, maybe he should have been moved to third. That's what it is. Yeah, he should have gone to third behind Forever Young. It should have been Mystic Dan, Forever Young, Sierra Leone. That should have been the order, and they didn't do it because it's Kentucky Derby, which is a problem. They should do it, even if it's the Kentucky Derby. You should go down. But the cards were great. Like, the Friday card was phenomenal. The Saturday card was phenomenal. I wish the weather held out a little better on Friday because the track played very different than what we had seen heading into it. It was a great Kentucky Derby. Like, this is the first time since I think it was 47 we've had a three horse photo. I wish I had the winner. I didn't. I don't hate my pick. I never was picking Mystic Dan. So, like, from a betting perspective, it's like kind of is what it is on that one. We'll see what happens. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the Preakness. I like the Preakness cards. They're usually very good, and I think the Belmont from Saratoga is gonna be phenomenal. So we'll see what happens.
Over at racingdudes.com, because Preakness Stakes is now less than 2 weeks away, whenever they send out PRs about who, what horses might be going there, I'm posting them up on the site so you can see right here on the front page. I've got all of the Preakness Stakes news. Tuscan Gold, Informed Patriot, Uncle Heavy are all possible. Copper Tax is possible. Seize the Gray, Just Steal, Muth, Imagination, Mystic Dan. If all those horses show up, that's still a better Preakness field than what we had for last year's event. So it should be fun. We'll probably get a few more stragglers, maybe get an Antonio Sano horse that's going to show up out of North. I think Dancing Groom. Yeah, Dancing Groom will probably show up for him. So that's what we've got going. But we appreciate you all for joining us and for putting your thoughts in the comments section. We had a lot of fun going back and forth with y'all. And hopefully you made some money playing something over the weekend for Kentucky Derby weekend. And if you didn't, I hope you had fun. I know it was fun to talking about everything with Mike. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Curtis Calabart. He is at Sommelbomb 18, number one, number eight. Corporate Overlords at Racing_Dudes. I am not on FanDuel TV this week, which is okay. I'm still recovering from an 80-person party yesterday. Like, I still feel like crap from that. So I'm okay to recover this week, but where can people see you on the VSiN Network?
I will be back on Thursday, normal spot on Lombardi Line. Friday, I will be on Sharp Money, and then Saturday and Sunday hosting from home this weekend. So get a weekend home before headed back to Vegas for the Preakness.
Nice. Lucky you. We'll have complete coverage of the Preakness Stakes all this week and next week. Mike and I will be back this Thursday, 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. Still okay for you?
Yes, sir. Covering late pick 5 from Belmont.
Backqueduct.
Aqueduct, really. So that's really aqueduct.
At least DRF now merged the stats. So if it was at aqueduct versus backqueduct, it still counts. Yeah. Remember when they did that weird thing where it didn't count and you were like, you have to pour through and look for the aqueduct results?
It's just aqueduct, guys. It's just aqueduct. We don't need to get fancy with this all Belmont at aqueduct crap.
They just don't want you to forget about it. But tune in then, 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific on Thursday, May 6, 7, 8, 9th. Wow, May 9th already. Cool. Until then, I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
Good luck this week.
The Magic Mike Show. Where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb. Because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.